Open the scriptures regarding the early church, Acts chapter 2. Just open your Bible up to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to write up here what we have been writing for the last several weeks as far as how the church growth progresses. We have the public, we have the private, and the private doesn't mean sneaky. The private means it's just not public. Amen? Private means it's members only. Private means it's those who are in Christ, in the church, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. Those who are part of the church. This meeting is a public meeting. Could be any number of people here. Could be some pagans. Could be some Buddhists. By and large, you end up with Christians in Christian churches. But really, evangelism should, you know, anywhere we are, anywhere we gather, in a public meeting. Amen? You know, you have an open door. Open door policy. People just come right in. You know, you could bring your pagan neighbor. I mean, right here in the church. Be amazing. Oh my goodness, what would happen if they took communion? Well, we probably shouldn't be having communion here. What do you think about that? We probably should be having communion in a meeting or the Lord's Supper in a meeting where there's only Christians. Right? Amen. Good idea. You know, we have these meetings because they seem to be convenient. We call this church because it happens to be convenient. Everybody can come in on a Sunday morning, you know, come dragging in about 11 o'clock, you know, as people do. That's kind of what we do. We come dragging in, you know, after we've slept in, and, you know, we've just made it convenient. It's not like back in the days when they started having these things. It's because you were out in the fields at 5 a.m. and having to get some stuff done, and you couldn't even get through until about 11 o'clock. I mean, you're already worn out, and then you had to go to church. Nowadays, basically, we just kind of sleep in. It's just kind of become a cultural deal. And, of course, most people don't bother at all, you know, because it's no longer our cultural norm here in the United States to go to church. It's not important. It's not helpful. It's not required, certainly, as it was in the early days. It was required. You remember, I don't know that you remember, but if you didn't go to church in early Massachusetts, they'd put you in jail. Now, I like that law. That's a good law. I like that. You go to church, I'd like to do that. My kids feel like I'd do that. You know, right, Grace? You know, you feel like if you didn't go to church, I'd probably put you in jail or punish you or put you in the stocks where they put your feet in these things and you can't go anywhere. Y'all remember stocks, don't you? Back in the 60s, didn't we have stocks still? Back in the 60s? So back in those days, if you didn't go to church, they'd put you in jail. You'd go somewhere. They'd put you in jail. They'd lock you up. You know, and the reason to go to church in those days really was to make you behave. Right? Amen. You go to church to learn how to behave. If you didn't learn how to behave as a child or a young person, well, they'd make sure you went to church to make sure you behaved in the society. So you could get more teaching on how to behave. Because apparently some of you don't know how. Some of you are drunkards. So at least, you know, the guy who was a drunkard, they had him locked up that night. Well, they drag him in and put him on the front pew. Make sure he heard the word of God. Don't be drunk. So it was a way to instill the word of God in adults who were rebellious. Anybody know any of those? Anybody who are one of those? That's like me, an adult who's rebellious, amen, who messes up, who does things he wants to do. Huh? Do you ever find yourself in that position? Oh, my goodness, I did that because I wanted to. You know, it wasn't that the Holy Spirit didn't say don't, but you didn't ask. Jesus, did you want me to do that? I actually didn't ask. I didn't check with it. I just kind of did it because I wanted to. He didn't have anything on the schedule, so I just figured the time was mine. Amen? I figured the time was mine. He didn't call me out and say he needed me to do something this morning, so I just took it and did it myself. No, God said, all of your time belongs to Jesus, doesn't it? All of my time belongs to Jesus. So here we have the public church, which is the public is for gospel, to be born again. To say, become born again. Repent. That's what the public church is for. His public church is really evangelism. Public church is where people come to hear the good news. Well, it always seems like we hear the same message week after week. Well, of course, because we don't know who's going to be here. Now, we're kind of used to you normal people being here, because you'll be here every time you can. You know, because the Holy Spirit will speak to you even through a gospel message. But that's not all you need. The meeting you need is a private meeting. Is a private meeting where believers come together to have the Lord's Supper together and to minister to one another, to hear word in depth directed directly to believers so that their sins are exposed, not in a public way to embarrass you or to bring you under punishment. Now Matthew 18 talks about that, but that is within the context of this church. Now I'm going to describe to you and show you the house church, show you what it looks like, show you the instances of it which are declared in the Scripture. And you don't really have as much idea, unless you're looking for it, how much that there is in the Scripture about it, or how much that it appears. We think in Acts 2, where he says they met from house to house. Well, that's the only one, and that was the early church. No, if you go through the book of Acts, and you go through the epistles, the letters to the churches, because Paul is constantly talking about the churches. He's talking about how the churches meet. He's talking about what takes place in the churches. And it seems like in the narrative of his letters that, you know, if you're not paying attention to it, you're paying attention to maybe the circumstance, but you're not paying attention to the locale. You're not paying attention to the location and how the people, in what context these things are taking place. Does that make sense? You want to see what context these events are taking place. And so that's what I'm going to open the door and show you this morning. But I wanted to go ahead and just make this distinction again. So, private is for the Lord's Supper, for instruction in righteousness, okay? And then the public doesn't produce anything more than gospel and born again. The private doesn't produce anything more. It's not a place for production. It's not a place for producing Christians. The private is the place that produces Christians, causes growth, causes discipleship. Okay? This instruction in righteousness is discipleship. And again, the reason we're saying these things is not because we got some, you know, idea in our head that we think this would be a great idea and we want to try to do it, and you close up the back door of the church by keeping people in these little houses. I mean, there's all kinds of strategies that cell groups and home groups have had attributed to them over the course of years, especially in the last 30 years. You've had house churches and home churches and cell groups and life groups and various names attached to the church that it's in. You know, all of these groups and what typically is happening, and you find out if you read the literature that is produced for it has to do with the reason we're doing this is to close the back door. You know, make sure people don't get away. I mean, in a big church, you know, people just kind of disappear and just kind of slip out the door and you never see them again, because nobody talked to them or whatever. And these are good ways, quote unquote. These are good ways to make it work well. No, absolutely not. It has nothing to do with good ways to keep people in the church. Absolutely not. The purpose in what God was doing and the direct result was to bring people into a smaller setting so that they could be matured. They could grow up. They could get the sin out of their lives so that you're no longer beset by sin. You're in a place where the Scripture is coming together and you are and being taught to you, and you are up against people individually, personally, on a regular basis. Your brothers and sisters in the Lord. they're meeting needs together. All of these things, because, you know, the scripture will talk about, you know, for breaking of bread, for fellowship, for prayers, and for doctrine. So that's where that's what's happening in these meetings. And then in the private church, and that's what the church is. The church is not, again, this is not the church. The big one is not the church. Now it appears the church, and we kind of produced it that way, and it ended up being that way, because that's, you know, what people were accustomed to. Jim's been teaching on it that Luther knew what was necessary was the smaller one, what he's calling A, B, and C here. But the public one was the only one that you wanted to start with, because you didn't have any of these in that would make up the private to begin with. If you don't have any, well, how can you have a private church if you don't have any Christians? If you don't have anybody who's worshiping God, if you just have people who are coming up, showing up, and taking the little communion and the wafer and the dipped in the wine, and saying, "Well, that's what it is to be a Christian: show up and take your communion, and then go and repent, go in there and repent to the priest, and go home." That's not Christianity. Amen. Christianity has to do with having the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You're hearing the voice of the Lord. You're growing, and your sins, though you're not perfect, you're staying away from sin consciously, but not by your own strength. You're learning that the Holy Spirit, not you, is the one who delivers you out of sin. Amen? You're learning that. It's not you. It's not about behave yourself so God will be happy with you. Amen? God is not interested in you behaving yourself. That never worked, did it? Would you like to go back to Moses? Everything that you have said, we will do. Nonsense. They didn't do any of it. And even if you did most of it, it doesn't work. The young man who came to Jesus, all of these I've done from my youth. He just nailed him right there. Okay, give away everything you have. Which is what? Obey God. Oh, I can't. And the guy went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Why? Because he couldn't obey God. He had no power to obey God. Because if God said give away everything, he didn't give it one. He said, well, let's see. Let's say I give you one test. Sell what you have and give it to the poor and then come and follow me. Can't do it. Because you couldn't obey God. You're not free. You're bound by this world. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Yeah, we're just bound by this world. But we do come to church on Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. That's a good one. At least we show up. See, but what he wants to do is he wants to totally break you from this world. He wants to take you out of this world. And it ain't going to happen on Sunday morning. I mean, it's again, if it's a meeting of believers, unbelievers, a big hodgepodge, I mean, it's just like having a group. It's like having the group going up to the inaugural, up at the Obama inaugural. 4 million people. Who knows where they're from? Who knows what they do? Who knows what that's all about? Who knows what they're thinking? That's the church. That's a church meeting. That's a typical public church meeting. Huh? Amen. Good preaching. All right. Now the private church, Lord's Supper, instruction in righteousness, and finally, what we call, or what is called discipline. Now, you know, we'll talk about discipline over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll point that out. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about a man who was in having an affair with his stepmother, right? And that guy was to be booted out of the congregation. But he's not booted out of the public church. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about excommunicating you out of the public thing, the public meeting. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is the private meeting. Don't let that guy into the private meeting. He is unrepentant. He cannot be part of the fellowship. Part of the fellowship of the saints. Now, I mean, you want him actually to come to this meeting. At least he'll hear the gospel. Amen? You want him to come to the public meeting. I mean, where's he going to go? If you kick him totally out of the church. And for instance, like excommunication has to do typically, or it comes out of the Catholic Church. And so if you're having excommunication, where's that guy going to hear the truth? How's that guy going to get broken? How's that guy going to hear at least the good news? You know what? God loves you. The guy didn't even know he was loved by God. He thought he had to go find his stepmother. He thought he had to go find his own pleasure, his own joy. He had to go find something because he didn't understand the love of God. So at least you don't want the guy just excommunicated out there. Well, too bad for you. You know? No. You want the guy to be able to come in to a meeting where he can hear God loves you. He never heard it. Or something went haywire to where he went out and decided that that was a good idea. Obviously not a good idea. All right? Discipline and excommunication is going to take place in the private meeting. That is, if you will not repent, you go in, first of all, you go one-on-one. Hey, brother, I've noticed that you're spending a lot of time with your stepmom in a kind of a bad way. It's just you and him alone. You don't tell five people that you're going to go see him. It's just you and him alone. If he repents, you've gained it. If not, you take one or two with you. Not that you've informed fully and have talked to for weeks. No, just take two or three. They're coming as witnesses. They're coming as witnesses. And then if he will not hear you then you bring it before the church. What's the church? The church is not Sunday morning. I mean, because the half of the Sunday morning is doing what he's doing. Right? You don't know what those people are doing. You don't even know what they're into. How can they judge? How can they vote? Yeah, okay, how many in favor of voting him out? You know, the homosexual, the other adulterer, the gossip, you know, they're all voting this guy out. Can you see the problem? I mean, what we're doing is you bring it before the church, which is the limited church, the public, the private church. And that's where he's disciplined. And then you treat that man as a heathen and a publican. Well, where's a heathen and a publican go to church? Public. Not because he's a publican. I caught that. All right, now, the private will produces Holy Spirit works. The private produces Holy Spirit works, Holy Spirit character. That's where all that is become produced, because the Holy Spirit is having His way in you. Amen? All right. So the public and then the private produces maturity. Okay? So we come in as children and then we grow to maturity. All right? Now, and all of that was just to show you where all of this is taking place. All right? So now I'm going to begin to go through these scriptures. There's more of them than I'm going to get to, I'm sure. Acts chapter 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. And the reason I'm going to take these, and I'll take them because I want you to know the volume of the scripture that applies. All right? That's the reason that I want to do this for you today. So I'm not going to go in depth into anything in particular, but I just want to give you a survey or an overview of the volume of scripture that applies to the private church, private house meeting. All right. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Now, of course, this would be the biggest house meeting you'd ever had. This is probably like the 120. But these people were the people who had followed Jesus, who had seen him after his death, and these are the ones who are in the upper room together. All right, they're all in one accord in one place. These are believers. These are not, you know, people who are outsiders. There are a lot out there, you know, who are part of the multitude who even had and Jesus had seen many. All right? But Acts 2, verse 1, and they were all together with one accord in one place. And of course, that's where the Holy Spirit fell. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Well, where were they sitting? They weren't sitting in Solomon's porch where the big meeting was going on, where the public meeting was going on. They were in a house with the door closed. This is a meeting of believers. The Holy Spirit came in and it filled all the house where they were sitting. I mean, so in other words, again, just listen to me, and we're talking about context specifically, is that this is a meeting in a home. This is a meeting in a smaller context. This is not a big outdoor public meeting, Jesus meeting with the multitudes out on the side of the hill up there in Capernaum. This is where they're meeting, in houses. All right? Okay, Acts 2:42. If you look down, and again, we're just going to go directly through the scriptures, so you can just move along. If you want to write these down, you can. And they continued steadfastly. Now, and I may, when I get there, I may look at a verse or two around it here. Okay, and this is after the 3,000 souls were baptized, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And they all believed, and fear came upon every soul. Verse 43, many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from where? House to house. You don't break bread in the temple. You don't break bread in the public meeting. Now, we'll have an agape feast back here as a celebration. But it is not for a communion, but this is a celebration of fellowship, all right? But again, those kind of meetings are for eating, for fellowshipping around the meal together, and not for the communion, all right? So they continuing, verse 46, daily with one accord in the temple, breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. All right? Now, look down at... Or look up. This one out of order. See if I got the right one here. Oh, no, sorry. Chapter 4, verse 23. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And I was getting so many of these that if I messed one up, you'll forgive me and we'll just keep going. All right. Now, talking about... the lame man who was healed, and verse 23, and they had been, Peter and John put in prison for a while there. And verse 23 says, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Okay? And so we're going to keep going right there. So this is after they had been released from custody, and they had prayed for the man who had been healed, walking and leaping and praising God. And so they had been released, and they went to their own company. So in other words, this is, again, not a public meeting, but they're going to their own company. Their own company has to do with you and me in our personal private body, the body fellowship, all right? The body of Christ together. That's the private church where all the believers are meeting. When the Bible talks about going to their own company, that is those who are of like mind and like faith. All right? And of course, we'll see that here as it continues. And again, remember what I'm telling you today is I'm giving you a description of what it is to be live life in a house church. Okay? Everybody say amen. Okay. Being let go, verses Acts 4:23 and following, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, you are God which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, you're against your holy child, Jesus. In particular. In other words, they're defining in their prayer against the Lord and against His Christ. That is Jesus, who you have anointed. Both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. So again, so they went to their own company, they began to pray, they began to lift up, these were believers, lifting up their voices unto the Lord, and it said the place where they were assembled. He was talking about an assembly of believers lifting up the name of Jesus. They weren't preaching the gospel out in a public place. This is where they had come together. So in other words, when you've got trouble, when people are after you, when people are coming to get you, you go to your own company, which is the faith, those who are of like faith and like mind, and you come together and you begin to lift up the name of Jesus, and you begin to pray together fervently and powerfully. And it said here that the place where they were what? Assembled. Now the word for church is not, the word we do use church is the word kirk, is a German word, and it was put into the English Bible. It was just transliterated from German to English, because that word church was what the word they were using to define and describe the place where you would go on a Sunday morning to be under the bishop, to be under the priest. That's the reason they carried over the word. If they had been using the Greek word for what is translated out of the Greek New Testament, and that is translated into the word church, that word is ekklesia. Here, ekklesia is those who are the called out ones. That's what that reference means, is ekklesia, those who are called out. When he's talking about called out, he's talking about called out of this world. That's what the ekklesia is. Now, I always wondered, well, where in the world, how do they translate the word, you know, the German word kirk, church, out of the word ekklesia? Where'd that come from? Well, it's because it was the king liked that word. Because you keep giving your church taxes. You keep supporting the thing. You keep supporting the what? The public thing. That's what the church was all about. It's already a public thing. All right? So then, here, I'm pointing out to you that in Acts 4, verse 31, he says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were what? Assembled. Well, assembly has to do with those who are called out. That's what the assembly is. The assembling together of the saints, the ecclesia. All right? So again, so these guys are meeting together as believers. They're meeting in a private location, private home, private house, not because they're doing what the original Romans thought. The word went out. I mean, you don't know what those Christians are doing in those private meetings. They were eating flesh. They were having all kinds of drunken orgies because they were drinking wine, and they were eating the flesh. And of course, the baby Jesus. So they're eating Jesus, the baby's flesh, and they're eating children. See, these are all the things that went on, those stories that went out. Here's what Christians are doing, and that's why we don't like them. And the reason people were upset about Christians in the early church, because number one, they absolutely didn't understand them, but if you didn't worship the pagan gods, then you were the cause of the local trouble. I mean, if there was a famine, the gods were not happy. And why? Well, you got these people over here who aren't pinching the incense. You got these people over here who are not fitting in, who are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're not making the gods happy. So that's it. You didn't like Christians. Because they didn't worship your gods. So they were upset, and they were doing bad things like eating baby flesh, drinking blood. I mean, these are bad people. Now, obviously, we know that's not the case. But that was the story that went out. How many know we had a political campaign not too long ago? Two or three or four of them going on, a little political. Have you ever seen some political advertisements? And have you ever seen the political advertisements that were against your guy? And you go, well, that's not true. You know, you want to stand up and yell at the TV. Well, it's not even true. That's just a lie. Well, that's the kind of stuff people are that. Public relations have been going on for years. Amen? PR didn't just show up with the Richards Group over there or Witherspoon. You know, we got a guy over in Dallas who does advertising. I said, I just tell everybody he's a liar. He's a jack. He's our local liar. You know, you didn't even know you needed that thing until he did a commercial on it. I was doing fine. I was doing fine without your product until you drove it up to my front door and on my television. And man, I need one of those. Yeah, I was doing fine driving my 10-year-old car until you showed me that brand new one. I was okay. See, all of and political advertisements, same thing, you know. They'll just throw something out there, and it doesn't have to be true. And they can apologize later on the back page. But you know how it is. If they say something, it's out there. Oh, was that wrong? I'm so sorry. Well, 40 million people saw it on the front page, and only 5,000 are going to see it on the back page. Yeah, because nobody's going to hear the retraction. They just hear the wow of the first one, right? Yeah, because that's the one Tom Brokaw says, whoever it is. Yeah, that's the one to say on Today Show. That's the one Oprah says. Then they show up at the end of the newscast on Channel 5 and say, oh, by the way, that thing wasn't true. Well, I knew it when it happened, but, you know, the people who don't listen. So all we're saying is that all of these things that were being said of the Christians were said for public consumption. They were said for public consumption. It was public, it was PR. So PR just didn't start yesterday. PR's been around since the beginning of the world. All right, so they were a meeting and they were assembled in a house there in Acts 4. Are you getting all these down? So Acts 2 and Acts 4. Okay, Acts 5, look at Acts 5:42. And I won't talk that long on each one of them. Okay. Find out where, because again, I got these in just written down and not all the context. Okay, verse 41, apparently they're in the presence of a council. Acts 5:41. And departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house. Here we are again. How often? Daily in the temple and in every house. Daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to preach and teach Jesus Christ, teach and preach Jesus Christ. All right? So again, another house. Write it down. So we're in Acts 2, we're in Acts 4, we're in Acts 5. In other words, write these down. Go back and study them. Go back and see that these things are taking place every day. Now, and it's not, well, they just didn't have church buildings back then. Well, it's true they didn't have church buildings back then, but they didn't need them. Why? Because the way they met and the purpose for which they met wasn't requiring a church building. They could just meet publicly out on public porches. There was tons of public places to meet. For large groups. So they used both on purpose. Because you cannot grow you're not going to grow in a huge group. You're just not. How many did God say it took to make a church? Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name. Wherever 2,000 or 3,000 gathered together in my name. So a church could start out with 2 or 3, but the fact is 2 or 3,000, even though they may be Christians, it's not going to be something where you can fellowship. You can't do fellowship, breaking of bread, worship, and prayers all together into 2,000 or 3,000 people. Certainly can't fellowship. Fellowship's the kind of the fellowship and breaking of bread is kind of the deal breaker, isn't it? I mean, how are you going to fellowship with 2,000 or 3,000 people? You're not. Fellowship means you and me. That's what it means. All right, Acts 8. And some of these I'll just read strictly from my notes. As for Saul, this is before, obviously before Saul became Paul. And he made havoc of the church, entering into every house. He didn't enter into every church. He said he entered into every house, hailing men and women and committing them to prison. So that's, the churches were all meeting in houses. So he's entering into every house. All right? Acts 9. Hope you got a pencil. Acts 9:11. And the Lord said unto him, talking to Ananias here, arise and go into the street which is called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas. There, go to Paul's staying in Judas' house. Not Judas Iscariot, obviously. In the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, the guy's praying, because he's blind. You'd be praying too if you were blind. God struck you blind, you want to figure a way out of that. Chapter 9, verse 17, and Ananias went his way after he complained a little while. Well, I heard of that guy, God. He's going into every house and hailing men and women, dragging him off to prison. Well, he said, well, I got him tied up, now he's blind. He can't do anything. So Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest and sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay, Acts chapter 10. Turn over there. Over here, it's talking about specifically that Cornelius. Talking about Cornelius of the Italian band. Can you do some Italian songs, Paul? Part of the Italian band. He was a devout man, one that feared God with all of his house, and he gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. This is from chapter 10, verse 1, going down to verse 3. He saw in a vision, about the ninth hour, an angel of God coming to him and saying, Hey, Cornelius! And when he looked on him, he was afraid. And he said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers are answered. And he said, Send now some men down to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, who is in a house by the seaside, and he'll tell you all that you ought to do. And the angel spoke to Cornelius. He departed, and he called two of his servants and told him to go down there to Joppa and go ask for Peter. And the next day, verse 9, as they went on their journey and drew near to the city, Peter was up on the housetop, top of the house, top of Simon's house, to pray about the sixth hour. So he was on top of this house. He was there staying in the house of Simon, and he was teaching there in that house. And they were fixing lunch, fixing to have something to eat, and all of a sudden, knock on the door. Here comes these guys from Cornelius and the Italian band, and they're saying, Hey, we're looking for one guy named Peter, and we need to get him to come with us. Okay, so there he is, and so Peter had this vision in the meantime, saying all these people are coming. Point being, he's teaching in a house at Simon's house. And then all of a sudden now, here comes God telling him, okay, I'm going to send some guys and you go with them. Because he didn't know who they were. They could have been leading him off to jail. He said, go with them. So he went with them to whose house? Cornelius' house. Went from house to house. How about that? And so, let's look at it here. I'm going to kind of move down a few scriptures. Verse 17, while Peter doubted himself, the vision, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius made inquiry right there at Simon's house. Acts 10:22, if you're following along. And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man that fears God, good report among all the nations of the Jews, is warned by God to send for thee into his house. So he wants you to come to his house. Now I realize, just Some would think, well, my goodness, every time the word house is used. Yeah, well, it's important. It's important because he's bringing you to your house. These meetings are taking place in their homes. And 4 days ago, look down at verse 30. Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and he told me to send to Joppa. And right there, as he was preaching, and Peter began to preach to him right there in the house, and as he was preaching, he was just starting to pray, starting to preach the gospel. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost fell on him. And these were all a bunch of Gentiles. This is just a good news. Now, this particular meeting went from being a public meeting to a private meeting. Why? Because the Holy Ghost fell upon all of them, as at the first. What does that mean? He said they all began to speak in tongues. Right there at the first, they all began to speak in other tongues, right there. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. And they were they of the circumcision were astonished. Oh my God. They were with Peter and said, whoa, whoa, whoa! How'd that happen? Don't you have to be a Jew first? Oops. Guess not. Because that on the Gentiles poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. How'd they know? Because they heard them. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they asked him to stay there certain days. Well, you want to have him stay there certain days, because now you're all born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. What happened? So they don't even know what happened to them. All they know is they got born again. They got transformed and changed right there in that house. And that's where Peter began to stay, and he stayed, and there was a church all of a sudden in the house of Cornelius, first Gentile church. All right, look at chapter 11, verse 11. All righty, and again, some of these I've just got the word house, and so I've got to get the context a little better. And this is Peter relating the same vision. Peter relating the same vision here in Acts chapter 11, and he says immediately when the vision was taken up, three men already were come to the house where I was. All right, and the Spirit bade me to go with them, and so they went with them at that time. Let me look further. Okay, look, turn over to Acts chapter 12. Now here's Peter coming again, and Peter had just been released from prison because an angel came and smote him on the side. Peter was sleeping in the prison because he wasn't expected to get out anytime soon, but God had business for him. And so what he did was he sent an angel, and the angel smote him on the side. If you look back there at verse 7 in chapter 12 of Acts, Acts 12, 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison. Huh. God brought his own light. And he smote Peter on the side, like I told y'all to do earlier. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off. It's pretty cool. You're chained up in the prison. Angel comes in, shines a light. Hey, you there? Shines a light in the room. Folks, you on the side, wakes you up because you're just rejoicing. You're just Peter's not afraid. He's not worried. God put him. He could be somewhere preaching. He could be somewhere in prison. Doesn't matter if you have a prison ministry or a church ministry. God doesn't care. You shouldn't care either. So he lets it. So he smokes him on the side, and he rises up quickly. Chains fell off his hands. The angel said, get yourself together. Bind on your sandals. Sorry. I can't read these glasses. I just can't. Get your sandals on. And he did. And he says to him, cast your garment about you and follow me. Man, this guy must have been just totally a mess. Can you imagine? Get your shoes on. Get up. Put your robe over you. Come on. Just get it together. Man, the guy is just a slob. He just cannot. He's not even ready to go. And he says, "And follow me." And he went out and he followed him. And he knew not that it was true, what was done by the angel. But he thought it was a dream. He thought it was a vision. He's just like, you know, the guy's half awake anyway. And so, I mean, he was sleeping really good. So he thought he was dreaming when the angel was dragging him out of the prison. And when they were past the first and the second ward, I mean, he was deep in the prison. He passed the first ward, passed the second ward. You know, I mean, some of those prisons can be, you know, it can take a while to get you out, right? I mean, especially if you've ever been there. You know, you ever been back in the back of one of these prisons? I don't know where Tommy and Latrice are, but they've been in those prisons. You know, they can wander way back there in the prison. You know, so this guy's sleepwalking all the way through the prison. So he went to the first and the second ward, came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened out of its own accord. You ever seen one of those movies? Georges? Or maybe I guess it's like going to Target now. The door opens by itself. You know, it's like it was. Of course, Peter wasn't used to that. Peter wasn't used to that. So the door opened up its own accord. Did y'all read that? That's pretty cool. And they went out and passed on through the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Okay, you should know where you are now. And when Peter was come to himself, and he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord sent his angel." Duh. "And he has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And we're looking at verse 12. "And when he had considered this thing," he came to the city, sleepwalking through the town, we're just barely awake. "And he had considered this thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, mother of John Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a damsel came to hear him, named Rhoda." Well, wouldn't you like your name in here when you're the one who left Peter at the door? "And when she knew Peter's voice, she didn't open the gate. She was so happy she didn't even open the door. She went back and yelled at the rest, 'Hey, Peter's out front!' Well, the guy's out there. He's out there. Still knocking on the door. They said, 'No, you're crazy. He's in prison. We're praying for him. Leave us alone.' And he kept knocking. Finally, somebody opens the door. 'Oh, hey! Peter, you're there.' Bottom line is, he went to the house. What were they doing in the house? Remember? Verse 12. What were they doing? Go back and read verse 12. "Many were gathered in the house praying." They were already in the house. And they were already praying. They were praying so fervently they didn't even bother to go out and check and see that the prayer was answered already. It was at the door. You know, prayer in the house apparently does pretty good things. The house shakes. You know, that's pretty good. On top of that, then your prayers get answered and the apostle shows up at your door and you're so busy praying you don't even answer the door. That's a good church meeting. Don't you think? All right, so they were in the house, gathered together, praying. I'm just trying to show you that this is where the church took place. Public, private. This is the private church. Isn't it neat? Are y'all having this fun? Y'all having fun? How many have a house? How many of you have a church? It ain't all it's cracked up to be, but I guarantee you. I got a church and you can tell it's not even full. And the bills are horrendous. You know? How many of you got a house? Raise your hand again. I mean, a place to live. Okay, good. You know what? You could have a church there. How many know you could have a church right there? Isn't that powerful? I mean, people could grow up there. People could actually grow up in your house. That's awesome. I mean, you don't have to have a building. That's good news. Especially these days. Do you know all we've been through having a building? I mean, it's a bear having a building. The government wants to know who owns it and they want to get in on it, and they want to make sure you got a fire extinguisher. I'm a fireman. I'm a fire marshal. I want to come in and check out your building. No, you got to let me in. Why? This is our building. No, it's a public building. No, it's not. See, people think a church is a public building. You know, you try to tell them it's a private building. Well, you let everybody in. I guess it's a public building. You open the door on Sunday morning, anybody could come in here. Amen? Could anybody come in here? They do. You see some folks come in here, you're surprised to see. Some of them, they come and ask you for money. You know why they ask you for money? Because they know you're here. and you're such sweet, nice people. So they come in, you know, and I'd like to speak to the pastor, please. And then after they speak to the pastor, you know what else they do? Then they go see Joyce, go see Kevin, you know, they go see, you know, this brother here, and after they get the money from the pastor, they go out and ask for money from everybody else. Because it's a public place. And you get money from lots of people. If you just put on this, you know, thing. And some of them are good. I could be good at it. I could, you know, I've watched it a long time. Yeah, I could actually do that. You get a tie that doesn't match your suit and look like you're trying to dress up. But it's obvious that you don't know what matches, you know. But you're doing a good job. Looking spiritual. All right, so they will come together. And they were all together praying. And verse chapter 14. Go turn over there. I hate to do all this without even saying anything. Okay, verse 14. Chapter 14, verse 27. Chapter 14, verse 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. So they gathered the church together. So they gathered the church together. So when they're talking about the blessing has come upon the Gentiles, they gathered who? The church together. Now, I'm making a distinction between when they gather the whole church. Really, the whole church is going to be all of the house churches, maybe in a large location. The whole church. That is, there's a lot of house churches in town. There's a lot of churches that are meeting together in town. Typically, it's not church when it's public. It's like a Billy Graham. Public's kind of like a Billy Graham meeting. You know, where you don't know what you got. Luis Palau. You know, down in Argentina. Reinhard Bonnke. In Africa. You know, they're preaching to everybody. T.L. Osborne. Major, major meetings. Big meetings. But you don't know who's there. Well, you do know who's there. You know, unbelievers. That's why they're there. Over in the first meeting Peter and John had out there, you know, they came out. They'd been baptized in the Holy Ghost. They came out, and they had been filled with the Holy Ghost. And boy, it's getting late. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, came pouring out into the street, and there were Jews gathered there from all parts of the world. Well, those weren't Christians. Those were Jews. So Peter began to preach the gospel to them. Hey, Bob. Praise the Lord. Alright, Acts chapter 18. Turn to Acts 18, 7. I think 18, 7 and 18, 8. Okay, and some of these, actually, what I'm going to end up doing here is just kind of recite them to you. And if you want my list, you can come get it. And get a copy of it and study it yourself. Acts 18:7. Because as some of these, it's just not even going to tell you who the guy is or where they were, but it's just going to define the fact that it was in a local meeting in a house. All right? Fair? I'm going to do it that way just to save time. Because otherwise, I'm going to try to preach to you every little story. And we don't have time for that. I've got time. And he departed from there and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, and whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now, look back there at that chapter 7. Justus's house joined hard to the synagogue. So what they had done, they left the synagogue, because they're getting kicked out of the synagogue, and they just went right next door to Justice's house, and they started having church with the believers right there. Because that's where Justice opened his house and say, hey, I like this gospel. Let's come over to my house and preach for us. Look here. Verse 11, he says, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Well, they just met in the house temporarily. No, he met there a year and a half. They didn't go find a rental. Amen? They met in that house for a year and a half. That's just because that guy had to leave town finally. So they were there for a year and a half. Paul was there for a year and a half. And he got out of there after that. All right? And let's look here at Acts chapter 19, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue, 19:8, spoke boldly for the space of 3 months. Oh, he lasted that long. Disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God, but when diverse were hardened and believed not, but spoke evil of the way that the multitude before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, breaking them out, taking the disciples with him. So he was in the synagogue 3 months. He stuck it out that long. They finally, things got rough. They sent him out of there. So he took his disciples that had come along with him, and he went into the school of Tyrannus. Well, most schools like school of Tyrannus is Tyrannus' house. So he's in Tyrannus' house, and this continued by the space of 2 years. So he stayed in Tyrannus' house 2 years. So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Alrighty. Acts 20. I'll just say this, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, and have showed you, and have taught you publicly, and from house to house. Okay, 21:8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed, and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And he had all those daughters who prophesied, right there in the house. Acts 28:30. And Paul dwelt 2 years in his own hired house. Well, Paul's in Rome, and he's dwelling 2 years in his own house. So he's got people coming into his own house. Okay, Romans chapter 16. Again, you can write these down. That's just all in the book of Acts. Romans chapter 16, likewise greet the church that is in their house. 16 verse 5, salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia. So saluting the church that's in your house. Churches are in houses. Chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, in the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are gathered together and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Gathered together and my spirit. So you're gathered together with the spirit to deliver such a one for Satan, for the destruction of the flesh. Remember the story I told you about the guy with his sleeping with his mother-in-law or his stepmother? This is that story. So when you're gathered together, this is where that discipline takes place. When you're gathered together and my spirit to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Is that 1? Yeah. For it's been declared of you, 111, sorry. 111, for it's been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. So there's a church in Chloe's house that there's been some contentions brought up, that some difficulties in that house, in that church, in that meeting, in that locale where the church is meeting. There'd been some contentions, and they're being brought to my attention. But the church there is in that house. Everybody understand? And do you see the power of this? Because this is specific designations of where churches met together in homes. All right? 1 Corinthians 11:17. Now this I declare unto you, I praise you, not that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there to be divisions among you, and partly I believe it. When you come together, therefore, into one place to eat the Lord's Supper, that's not going to be, or to get into one place. This is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Basically, he's making a sarcastic remark. Whatever you're doing, that ain't it. Whenever you guys are coming together, you're having a party, you're fighting over the casserole. You know, so you get the people who don't have any food, they're coming in, there's nothing left for them. Y'all got off work early, y'all are partying down, and they don't have anything to eat, and you calling that having the Lord's Supper? You crazy. Not about you, not about you. what it is to meet in a home is to have a solemn meeting. It's to have a solemn gathering around the Word of God, the fellowship of the Lord's Supper together. Could be breaking bread together, worshiping together. We did this Saturday night over at the McElhorns. We do this on Wednesday nights over at the houses of the younger families. That means younger than us. That's what that means. Praise the Lord. All right? Now, and again, another part of that scripture is when you come together, and I like this over there at McElmore's house. This is my scripture right here. It says, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. That's good. They're real sweet people. They wait on us. Because we're usually there later than we should be. All right. Chapter 14. Another thing, okay, verse 23, if therefore the whole church come together in one place, see, that's the whole church. That's the big meeting. Now, the next verse I've got is 14:26. How is it then, brethren? How does it work? The scripture I called this morning. When you come together, every one of you, when you come together, as a body of Christ, as a church together, when you come together, and again, I'm doing this here, and we're doing this here because most of you in this public meeting typically end up being believers. But this is kind of a quasi, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of a quasi meeting because this is the only meeting we got for most of y'all because this is the only one y'all come to. So open your house, call us up, say, hey, I want to have a church in my house. So call me up, tell me that, okay? Call me up and tell me you want to have a church in your house. We'll do something. We'll figure some way to do it. All right? I mean, if you're part of this, you know, congregation. All right, now. So when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. Let all things be done unto the use of edifying. I'll probably share some of these with you guys later on, some further. All right, let's get out of 1 Corinthians, get through it. Verse 16, chapter 16, verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. So there's a house, church in the house of Stephanas. And the church in verse 16, 19, that the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that's in their house. So they've got a church in their house. Okay, I'm going to take another little liberty here. Colossians 4:15, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphos and the church which is in his house. Philemon 1:2, and to our beloved Appia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to their church that is in their house. How many churches we got in their house? Huh? Go ahead. Got any churches in the houses? Right here. We got tons of churches in the houses. All right. Praise the Lord. There's some there further in 1 Thessalonians and all of these. Oh. What's that? Oh, praise the Lord. You know what? Not much more. 1 Thessalonians, comfort yourselves together, edify one another. That's what these churches are for. We beseech the brethren to know them who labor among you in the Lord. How can you know them who labor among you? How can you know me if I'm 5,000 church and I'm standing up here at the front and I greet you at the back door on your way out? Probably don't. I probably slip out the back. Amen? I mean, you know, some of these big, big, massive churches, how can you know them who labor among you? If that's the pastor, that's the guy, that's him. You can't know them. Those who labor among you, those who are over you in the Lord. How are you going to know them? Unless you're at a house together with them, unless you're in a meeting together with them, that's a private meeting, difficult to know the elders in the church. Okay, 1 Timothy 5:13, and they talking about babblers. They learn to be idle, wandering from house to house. Not only idle, but tattlers and busybodies, speaking those things which they ought not. Why are they going to house? Because that's where the church is meeting. Now there are, you got problems in the church. You got people. You remember Euodias and Syntyche. You know, Paul found out there's a problem with those two girls. And they were backbiting each other. He said, take care of that problem. But those girls were in a church together. They were in a home meeting together. And they're having some contention. So he said, take care of that. All right? And says, folks who learn to be idle, wandering around from house to house, and maybe he's talking about those silly women. Isn't that a Bible verse about silly women? Going from house to house? Believe me, there's some silly men. Amen. Praise the Lord. So they're speaking those things which they ought not, but they're going from house to house. Why? Because they know that's where the churches are. Okay, 2 Timothy 1:16, the Lord give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me, and he was not ashamed of my chain. So he's got a church in Onesiphorus has a church in his house. Oh, here's the one. Here's the silly women. For this is the sort that creeps into houses and leads silly women captive, laden with sins. And see, the churches, my point here is the churches are in the houses. That's where people are showing up. They're not showing up at the local Baptist church. They're showing up at the house. If you've got a stinky, lousy, deceived ministry, where are they trying to show up? They're trying to show up in houses. Hey, can I come in? Hey, I got a ministry card. Can I show up in your house and minister to you? No. Thank you. We got a pastor here. We don't need an extra one. We don't need a guy who's walking down the street with a shingle hung out. Titus 1:11, whose mouths be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things that they ought not. Now again, these are negative scriptures talking about, you know, people going, but the point is that they're going to the houses. Amen? Does that make sense? Do you see what I'm reading those? Is that that's where people were going to make their deceptions, were to the houses. Because that's where the people were. That's where the churches were. That's where the saints and the disciples were. And then Hebrews 10:25, we know, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more, as you see the day approaching. In other words, don't forsake to join together. He's not talking about big church. The fellowship and the place that you're joining together is a house church, a church that's built in your house. These are serious Christians who want to grow, want to get the sin out of their life, want to go from private to maturity. That's what the house church is about. See, that's what we're preaching, that's what we're teaching you this year. This is where the church of God is growing. All right? And if there be coming to any of you and that bring not this doctrine, 2 John 1:10, now I'm not talking about the doctrine of house church, but the doctrine of the saints, the doctrine of the kingdom of heaven. He says, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. If there's somebody who's preaching something other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, don't let him into your house. Again, this is a house which is founded for the purpose. This gospel house meeting is the church of God. If somebody's preaching some new thing, don't let him in. Don't even tell him God bless you. Say, nope, no, we're not going to have yours in here. Okay, if anybody wants a copy of that, I can get it for you and get you a copy of that. It's a blessing to have, because that way you can go back and study the surrounding scriptures as well and kind of encourage yourself with it. But I want you to hear it. I want you to have it. I want you to understand it, because the church of God began and continued in houses. That's where Christians grew. Houses continued. Up until the time that the church became legal, houses continued until Constantine. Because nobody wanted to give them a building. You know, nobody wanted you in a building. They didn't want to receive you as a legitimate thing. But the problem is, once you become legitimate, then you become corrupted. Because then you're, I mean, you know, all of a sudden, now you're fitting in. And you want to continue to fit in. And you'll notice the tax laws that we have today and all the laws surrounding churches have to do with tying you up in a knot. Well, if you want to keep your benefit, now you have to do this, this, and this. Well, yeah, I want to keep it. It's like that guy who's got this big seminar, and every big shot in the country is promoting him. Yeah, because, oh man, he's going to keep me from going to jail. He's going to keep me out of trouble. I mean, you know, man, and he looks good too. Of course he looks good, because you're paying him to go to his seminar. You know, I don't know. If you don't straighten up, he might think on you. Hey, here's a guy who didn't go to my seminar. I think you need to go check him out. Anybody blessed today? Did you learn anything new? All right. Father, we just let's lift our hands together. Let's lift our hands. Father, we thank you. We love you. We know that you have given us truth. And we know that you have given us the Word of God and the Holy Spirit so that we might hear you clearly and know those things which are freely given to us of God. Father, we thank you right now as we come together and then as we depart and go to our homes. Lord, that you are working in us and through us and causing us to see that our growth is taking place as we meet together, filled with the Holy Ghost, together to rub up against one another, to be one with one another, to see holiness begin to transform us, begin to change us from one degree of glory into the next. And Father, I thank you right now that you fall upon this place, each one, Father, that you just bring to pass this ministry to one another as you have described it in your truth, in the Word of God. And we give you the praise. We open ourselves to these things. Father, show us how to do it. Show us where to go, what to do. And Father, we commit to it because we belong to you. In Jesus' name. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen.